Good morning. Good to see you. Believing that you're there. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's great to have you with us. Whether you're watching live, whether you're looking back at the video a bit later, or whether you're actually on the phones, welcome to you. Well, it's all changed again, hasn't it? We're now into our third national lockdown. So even though guidelines say we can still meet together and allowed to have worship in places of worship, we want to keep everyone safe, and we've made a decision which means that we're actually not got anybody here today. So we're purely streaming this morning, there's no congregation here. So good to have you with us anyway, even though you can't be here in person. But let's not allow these sort of change of circumstances to distract us from being together. Even though we're physically apart, we can still worship. We are still part of God's body, so we can do that. He is the all-loving, unchanging God, so we can still worship him nonetheless. Can't we? Yeah, going to have to shout a bit louder than that. I couldn't hear that, sorry. But even when you think about that opening video, there's lots of themes coming through that. But it was firstly talking about singing to God, acknowledging him, praising him, worshipping him, because he does so much for us. And I just pray that you would just worship God uninhibited this morning. You can sing your heart out. It actually talked about singing loudly. Well, you can do that without mask, without anything at home, so you're all right. But interestingly, that whole theme of worship, and it talks about releasing of prisoners and defending people and being there for people, it was all there in that video. And some of those themes are going to come out in that which we're going to be thinking about later. But that is later. But let's just give our time to God now. Let's pray, shall we? So, Father, thank you, even though more restrictions seem to be upon us. Thank you that nothing can restrict our worship for you. And that, Lord, nothing can stop us from releasing that which is in our hearts and that which you've put there within us to praising you and to worshiping you. So, Lord, we give you this time as we sing, as music is played, as we consider thoughts and we hear your word, Lord, all sorts of things as part of our time this morning. May you stir us, may you speak to us, may you change us, Lord, because that's what meeting with you does. It changes us. So, Lord, we give you this time, we give you ourselves, and we pray that, Lord, you be in it. You be in it with us, wherever we are. And I pray that, Lord, that sense of being together as body will be really strong for us all this morning, because we commit all these things and pray these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, just a few announcements, not many this week. Firstly, on Wednesday, we have our worship on Wednesdays, and we've got Adam and the Greystones team. I don't know whether there's that many of them now, but it'd be really good if you could join them. 7 o'clock on our Facebook page right here. Also need to remind you that due to lockdown, we were telling you, members of the church here, about a church meeting. That is now not going to happen. That's going to be postponed. So that which was on for the 19th, it will now not happen. But we'll let you know what's going to happen at a later date. And of course, you can still meet via Zoom after the service. We have our coffee time and even that opportunity for some prayer or ministry if you want. Again, as normal, if you haven't got that Zoom code, then do leave a comment and we can send it to you. So let's get into the singing of those praises. Let's get into that worship which we're here to do. So I'm going to hand over to Adam. Brilliant. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark.
There's a place where the streets shine, breathe the glory of the Lamb. There's a way we can go there, we can live there beyond all time, because of you. Because of you, because of your love, because of your blood. No more pain, no more sadness, no more suffering, no more tears, no more sin, no more sickness, no injustice, no more death, because of you, because of you, because of your love, because of your blood. Oh, our sins are washed away, we can live forever. Now we have this hope, because of you. Oh, we'll see you face to face. We will dance together in the city of our God, because of you.
There is joy everlasting, there is gladness, there is peace, there is wine ever flowing, there's a wedding, there's a feast, because of you, because of you, because of your blood, because of your blood. Oh, our sins are washed away, can live forever. Now we have this hope, because of you. Oh, we'll see you face to face. We can dance together in the city of our God, because of you. Oh, our sins are washed away, we can live forever. Now we have this hope, because of you. Oh, we'll see you face to face. We will dance together in the city of our God, because of you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name.
sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship Your name. You're rich in love, and You're slow to anger. Your name is great, and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 years and heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is fading, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. I worship Your holy name. Yes, I worship.
Good morning, my name is Richard Doherty, I'm the Youth Minister here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, and I just forgot to turn on my microphone, so that wasn't anyone upstairs' fault, that was mine. I wonder if you've ever been really fed up. I wonder if you've ever thought, why do I bother? I wonder if you've ever felt like giving up or quitting. Well, I want to tell you a story today, and it's one we're going to be looking at later as well, about three Israelite boys called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three boys had had a very tough time. They'd been taken away from their families. They'd been taken away from their countries. And they'd been taken far away to another country. And in that country, they were given new names. And they were given new jobs. And they had to eat different food that they didn't always like. And they had to listen to a new king who didn't love God. And they had to work with people who weren't always very nice. Now, the Bible tells us that God was really good to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that He looked after them, and that actually they ended up sort of helping to run the country, a bit like a government. But one day, the king at the time, a man called Nebuchadnezzar, who made Donald Trump look quite frankly reasonable, decided that he was going to build a huge golden image of himself and that everybody in his country had to worship it. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they couldn't do that because they loved God. And while they could have just done it, made everybody happy, They could have made the king happy and just pretended to bow down to this statue. They decided that when the music played and everyone else was going to worship this statue, they weren't going to do it. And this made King Nebuchadnezzar very angry. And so what he did was he'd made a law that anyone who wasn't going to worship his image would be thrown into a furnace, into a big burning fire. And he had one of his guards grab Shadrach and grab Meshach. But what he didn't know was that at any point, God could have just let them both go. Okay, so here's Shadrach and here's Meshach. So they are. And so the music plays and everyone bows down and starts worshipping this statue. And Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego won't. And that made the king so angry. So he had the guards grab Shadrach, grab Meshach, had another guard grab Abednego. But what he didn't realize was at any point, God could have just let all three of them go. This king thought that he was God and that he had the power to do whatever he wanted. And he said to Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, why aren't you bowing down to worship this statue? In fact, he was so angry, he told his guards to make the furnace 7 times hotter than it normally was. He said, grab them. So, drop one. So he grabbed them. Okay. And he said, I want you to heat up the furnace extra. I want you to tie them up. I want you to bind them and I want you to throw them into the fire. And the Bible says that the heat of the fire was so hot that when the guards went near it, they died. It was so hot. But Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego had said to the king, we're not going to do the wrong thing. We aren't going to worship your statue because we believe God will rescue us. But even if he doesn't save us from the fire, we're still not going to do what we know is wrong. Sometimes when we go to school or when we go to work or when we're on our own, when we're not going to church together or life groups or we're not, you know, spending a lot of time with other Christians, it can be really easy to do what everyone else wants us to do. Sometimes we have friends who want us to do things that we know aren't right. Sometimes we want to do things which we know our mums and dads say we really shouldn't be doing. And sometimes we want to do things which we know as Christians we really shouldn't be doing. Sometimes it can be hard, like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, to say no. Particularly if we're the only Christian we know at school or where we work or in our family, it can be very hard to follow God. Sometimes you just think it'd be so much easier just to go along with what everyone else is doing. Why do I have to pay all my taxes? Why do I have to do this? Why shouldn't I be swearing? Why can't I watch this? Why can't I do that? But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided to do the right thing, even though they knew the king was going to try and kill them. But Nebuchadnezzar was really shocked because when he looked into the furnace, he didn't see 3 people burning up. The Bible says that he saw 4 people. And they weren't tied up and they were walking around in the fire unhurt. And he said that as well as seeing Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, he saw a 4th person who he said looked like a son of God. Maybe it was an angel, maybe it was Jesus before he came at Christmas time. We don't really know. But Nebuchadnezzar learned his lesson that actually he wasn't God. And that actually sometimes even doing the right thing can get us into trouble. Even though doing the right thing means some people won't like us or they'll even want to hurt us, it's always the right thing to do. So young people, if you're being homeschooled at the moment, or whether you're going to school and having provision, and us adults, whether we're out and about going to work or staying home, we have to do the right thing, even if no one's watching. And we have to be prepared to follow God no matter what. It's really good that Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were friends with God. And over the next few weeks, that's a song we're going to be singing after the kids talk. And Adam is going to be teaching us, if we don't know it, or playing through this song, I Am a Friend of God. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. I think most of us know this one, so nice and loud, please.
Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me to make a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me, it's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. Whoa, whoa. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God.
Thanks, Adam. I love that song. But brilliant. I hope you're singing along there. And thanks, Rich, for that. We are revisiting that story a bit later. So if you want a little bit more, then yeah, stay tuned as such. Now, it's always really, really important, I think, to keep track of what's happening in our world. And it's been quite difficult, hasn't it, throughout the whole of this pandemic, just to keep track of what's going on in other places. But we're going to have our little world mission slot now, and I'm going to hand over to Joe White, who's going to lead us in some thoughts but also and some prayers. So thanks, Joe.
Good morning. The 4th of August 2020, Beirut, that terrible explosion that decimated the port and caused such terrible devastation and loss of life. These awful events are very much in our news for a while, but then perhaps they fade from our consciousness as other things overtake them. But for the people of Lebanon, they live with the day-to-day reality of what has happened. And all this in the year of coronavirus, and in a nation already burdened by the Syrian refugee crisis, a huge economic downturn, and civil unrest. As a church, we support Arab World Ministries, AWM, and as our Christmas and New Year offerings were given to their relief work in Beirut, it's fitting that today our prayers focus on that and the people of Lebanon. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we know there is great work being done by many groups and organisations, But followers of you are uniquely equipped to show your love to the people of Beirut. Please help the AWN teams as they seek to support the most vulnerable families, helping them with their immediate and ongoing needs, showing people that they are loved as individuals, and sharing the life-giving news of your gospel. In a place where there is so much physical destruction, help your people to bring the message of hope that will rebuild lives. And in the current climate where the threat of infection makes close contact unwise, may friendships still flourish and trusting relationships grow. And Father, just as we pray and trust that this year will be a turning point in the trials that we are experiencing, may that too be true for the people of Lebanon. And as the rubble gets cleared and new buildings arise, may the words of the prophet Isaiah be a reality for them. I will make peace your governor and righteousness your ruler. No longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin, nor destruction within your borders. But you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Amen.
Turn to worship and we're going to sing Light of the World. But before we do, just a quick reminder, our Christmas Day offering normally goes to a local ministry and a national international ministry. And that's still open. This is the last weekend. If you want to give to that, we're giving to the Swanage Food Bank and to Arab World Ministries in equal portion, so that's still open. If you want to give, you can pop a check or some cash through. Please mark the envelopes really clearly, Christmas fund, so that we know, or so that I know. If you want to give online through your bank, again, if you can notate that as Christmas fund, and then we'll make sure that that goes to the right place. Let's sing together, Light of the World.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to Light of the world, you came down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of the life spent with you. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Exalted, glorious in
heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say, surround me with a song of deliverance from mine enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Split the sea so I can walk right through it. My reasons are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God.
so I could walk right through it. My tears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child.
Thanks, Adam. It's great to worship, isn't it? Wonderful. Brilliant. I hope you've been able to engage with that. But as we've already acknowledged, on Tuesday the 5th, last week, we were put into yet another national lockdown. And it's all because of this coronavirus, this pandemic, which seems to be biting even harder, doesn't it, upon our nation, in fact, across our world still. And it's hard. It's hard. But for many of us, this whole pandemic has, in fact, been the first major national, international crisis or even emergency that some of us have experienced, something as broad and as wide. Perhaps for a few others, probably even since the Second World War. But either way, it has been hard, and it seems to be getting harder. And some of the scenes we see, these sorts of images on our news and in news reports, it just bites, doesn't it? It takes us really to the heart of the depth of feeling. And no one has escaped its effects across our nation and our world. And in fact, it's affecting our everyday lives too. So can I encourage us? Let's keep praying, not only for places like Beirut who've got the other issues, but also let's keep praying as well for the whole virus and all that it has and all the results of it. But you know, this whole national lockdown sort of experience is nothing new. You know, it's new to some of us, but it's actually not new, and it's actually been a recurring experience across the centuries in many, many guises. Therefore, guess what? It's not new to God either. He not only understands what we're experiencing personally in these days, but he's been there alongside other lockdowns, other situations where his people have gone through over time. And as we look into the Bible at, say, for instance, the people of Israel or even the early church, we see not only the records of what they went through, but the experiences that they faced as a result, because, in fact, they were the people of God. They were seeking to follow him. And it's interesting then to see how it unfolds and how God steps in and delivers them in the midst of those situations. Now, some of those lockdowns, of course, were caused through their own wrong choices, you know, like ignoring God's ways and laws and bringing what is oppression of other nations and even regimes on themselves. For others, it was issues of conflicting religion and belief systems and worship. While still others, it was just the governments or the authorities of the day, both pagan and even religious, who were seeking to squeeze the life out of God's people purely because they were being his people. And being bold even about it. But, you know, no matter what the cause, it just wasn't easy. And it's not easy. And it hasn't been easy for God's people to remain faithful under immense pressures in the midst of their captivity. We've had recent years of ISIS, you'll remember. And people who were caught and trapped with the threat of their own lives at an incredible cost of owning the name of Jesus. And if they failed to comply, then they lost their heads or they were killed. And, you know, that has been a very common theme. Yet all through it, all through these difficult times, even, as I said, the history within the scriptures, but even in our everyday experience, the living God was there with them. He was there helping them, overcoming and intervening, bringing many times and in many cases their freedom, because they hung on to their faith. They trusted in the Lord God Almighty, and he was there and even released his miraculous miracle working power to bring them freedom and help. So coupled with their faithful and bold trust in God, he changed their situation. So just as we're in lockdown, albeit a bit very different than some of those circumstances, the heart of our next sort of series of messages up until around about sort of Easter time, I've chosen the title Messages from Lockdown. Because you see, the Bible has got lots of these sort of stories. And some Old Testament, some New Testament. So we're going to try and tease out what God might be saying. So, you know, what can we learn from these situations and these previous lockdowns which God's people went through? How did they cope? How did they face the difficulties which they faced even on a daily basis? And what did God do in those circumstances? So we'll seek to put these biblical incidents alongside our own, and we'll trust that God will speak to us today in our 21st century lockdown. Hopefully that will build our faith and we build our trust in that God can still do the miraculous stuff that he did way back. And so we're going to start today with that well-known story which Rich actually introduced to us, which is familiar to many of us, I expect, from our Sunday school days. And I've called it Shad, Mesh and Abs and the Fiery Furnace. Shad, Mesh and Abs. And it comes from Daniel chapter 3. And it's a bit long, but I'm going to read the whole story, the whole chapter, because we need to grasp the circumstances and the situation here. So, King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then he sent messages to the high officers, officials, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all provincial officials to come to the dedication of the statue that he had set up. So all these officials came and stood before the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald shouted out, "People of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." So, at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever their race or nation or language, bowed to the ground and worshipped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. But some of the astrologers went to the king and informed on the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "Long live the king. You issued a decree requiring that people to bow down and worship the gold statue when they heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and other musical instruments. That decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I've set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from that, from my power?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we won't want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up." Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, their turbans, their robes, and other garments. And because the king, in his anger, had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw 3 men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. But suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisers, "Didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace?" Yes, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see four men unbound walking around in the fire, unharmed. And the fourth looks like a god." Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore I make this decree, if any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb, and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other god who can rescue like this." And the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. So as Richard said to us, these guys, Shad, Mesh, and Abs, as I will call them, are part of these exiled community, exiled people of Israel, taken to Babylon as a consequence of Israel's disobedience to God. And so God had handed them over to the people and the power of the Babylonian Empire under the leadership of this evil king, Nebuchadnezzar, who laid siege to Jerusalem for many years and then eventually conquered the city back in 567 BC. And so Nebuchadnezzar, as I call him, you know, put many of God's people into a lockdown in his own country, back in Babylon. But you know, in the midst of it all, God had not forgotten them. Because as you read these first few chapters of the book of Daniel, you see his presence and his intervention clearly. He was there with them. He was there right at the heart of it. And as the stories surrounding these three, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, Mesh and Abs, and alongside another mate called Daniel, or Belshazzar, as he was renamed, it clearly proves that God was there with them. Now, these guys were good Jewish boys. Good. They followed God's rule. They read the scriptures. They knew it. They were also very intelligent. They were of royal blood, even. And most of all, upright young men. They were gifted in knowledge and good judgment, it says in chapter 1. So they were soon spotted by Nebuchadnezzar and his officials and his government, and promoted to positions of influence and authority in Neb's government. But, you know, it's important to note, as you read through the story, it was also their faith and their loyalty to God that was at work here too. Not just about their human abilities, their skills on that level. I believe God was clearly at work in them and through them, and was using them and blessing them in the process. So all was going really well. They were doing well. Until Neb, this evil pagan king, built this statue of gold. 90 feet high and nine foot wide. And demands that the people of his kingdom bow down and worship it. We're not told, but it may have even been modeled on himself. He was that arrogant. Or it could have been some other pagan deity. But whatever its image, this was a tough call for these guys, wasn't it? Here they were. They were in a position of power. They were, in one sense, trusted. And yet, they faced this dilemma. What were they going to do? The threat of death by being thrown into this fiery furnace was hanging over their decision if they didn't obey. But do they lose their lives just on the matter of a moment or two, just bowing down in worship with everyone else in this part of this massive crowd? Who'd know anyway, even if they did? Would it really matter? Of course, it did. Because ultimately, God knew. Even though others may not have even noticed. But God noticed. But their conscience, therefore, as believers, would have been working well over time, I am sure. And that's our first sort of question, really. What would you or I have done in this situation? Is the worship of God that important to throw away a really good career? Or even to sacrifice a secure place to live? Even in the midst of a difficult circumstances in our world today, or some ungodly society where life would be hard if we didn't follow it through? Or more to the point, would you be prepared to even lose your life? Risk your life? I wonder. Where does God stand for us? How important is he to me? Do I pick up and choose where I stand or stand out for Jesus? And that's even the threat, with the threat of death hanging over us. You know, if that's not over us, as it was for some of those believers and Christians, even in Syria and these other places more recently, you know, what are we going to suffer if we don't, you know, all we can just get snide comments from somebody or a bit of ridicule. That's all. Well, interestingly, the story unfolds, of course. They decide not to bow down, quite rightly, to worship this pagan god, this idol, or even to this king. So the inevitable happens. They're spotted. The enemy, in whatever shape or form, it was astrologers in this case, but they goes to the king and they grass on him. You know, there's lots of people in our world who are looking to trip Christians up. We need to be careful who's watching. So they're bound up and they're thrown into this furnace. Seven times hotter. Well, that's the end, isn't it? That's the end of it. No, definitely not the end. By no means is it the end. God was already at work. He'd seen and he knew their loyal faith and their trust in him. He knew their hearts. He could see through. And even though it may have been mixed with, I'm sure, fear and trepidation, but they trusted and God steps in. Their fear is turned to faith in the God they knew and they loved. The one who knew and loved them too stepped in. But did you notice, and I love this part of the story, that even the soldiers who threw them into the furnace died in the process, but they were completely and totally untouched. Not even a hair of their head was singed. Their clothing was not burned, and not even the smell of smoke was on them. Incredible. I don't know about you, but I can stand anywhere near a bonfire and the smoke just pervades all my clothes. And you can't escape that you've been it. And if somebody actually smokes, you can also tell, can't you? Because it seeps into the woven materials. And that's it. This is incredible. So it's a bit of an understatement to say that God delivered them. But deliver them, he certainly did. Big time. God intervened. He saw their willingness to even being prepared to lose their lives out of their devotion to him. God always notices and honors, I believe, faith in these sort of difficult circumstances. Because it releases his heart. It releases his power. It releases his authority. And he will break in and step in to our circumstances and our situations for the sake of his people, because he loves them, but also for the sake of his name and his reputation and that of the kingdom. And this is a wonderful example, isn't it, about true worship? This whole story is about worship. Being forced to do something and bow the knee to powers and forces which actually are of no value to us. They will not help. This was just a pure metal gold statue. You know, worship is not just about singing songs with great gusto or raising your arms in ecstasy in worship. It's about sacrifice. It costs us everything as we surrender everything to him. It's about losing our lives for the sake of gaining his. Wow, that's what it's about. That's the cost of our commitment to Christ and to God. Now, these guys may well have got away with bowing in worship to the statue and blended into the crowd if they'd have wanted to. But rather, they chose to be faithful. They chose to worship the Lord, the living God, instead. And the result of that was standing their ground was even more significant than just their own salvation from the flames. God not only delivered them, he delivered them powerfully. So powerfully that even this selfish, evil, pagan God, king, with thousands of others too, probably, noticed and acknowledged this living God. He was humbled by what he saw, which I believe was another tool which God used to bring this man, King Nebuchadnezzar, to his knees in acknowledgement that God, this living God, Yahweh, was actually the God of all gods. Just read on into the next chapter, chapter 4. You see God do it yet again. Now, we just don't know, do we, what God can do if we're willing to put worship of God before anything else in our lives, making him our number one priority above everything else. He will then intervene and he will act for us. He will deliver us. He'll protect us. And he will use us. And he'll act powerfully, even in unprecedented and unpredictable ways, with the knock-on effects that can even change societies and structures and powerful forces, even in the heavenly realms, as well as providing roads to faith and salvation for others in the process. In fact, in those last few verses of the chapter, it's made clear that through this whole incident, God's men were then put even into more significant and powerful positions, places where they could not only be blessed and honored, but used and become influencers of the whole kingdom. Isn't this a tremendous story? I love it. Ever since I first read it, way back as a teenager, about 400 million years ago. But there's lots more in here. So much more than we've had time to unpack today. But you know, yet, even though it's a situation which is outside our everyday circumstances, it's not common occurrence, is it, to be thrown into a furnace or threatened to, you know, if you don't bow down. But you know, it's subtle nowadays. It's different nowadays. And so easily we can be influenced. But these things we can learn from. And when it comes up to our relationship with God and our worship, it's crucial that we keep and stay fixed to our foundations and who God is in it all. So what does God want to say to us today? What does God want to take away, us to take away from this whole passage today? Even in the midst of lockdown, I believe God can and does speak. But am I listening? Let's pray before we sing our final song. God, we thank you for this amazing story. It's so good. But Lord, these three guys were just doing what came naturally to them because they were so in love with you. They were so sure of their faith that no matter what the threat over their lives, they stayed faithful. And Lord, that's such a challenge to us. Even in this 21st century lockdown situation, Lord, it's so easy. We could just let things slip. We could forget it and bow down to other things. But you're calling us to follow you, to be faithful to you in whatever the result. So, Lord, I pray that we would learn from these guys. Thank you for their faith. But Lord, may we rise with the same sort of faith as we go forward in the next few weeks, months, and years. We ask it, Jesus, in your loving and precious name. Amen. Amen. We're going to hand over, we're going to sing a great song which summarizes this beautifully. How great is our God? Thanks, Adam.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great, how great. God. And age to age he stands, time is in His hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead free in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! All will see how great is our God! How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God. He's the name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. He's the name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God.
Thanks, Adam. What a great way to finish. Apologies for running over a bit, but we had to have the whole of that story. It's just so gripping, isn't it? But I hope that it's been of value, and I hope that we can take something away into this next week, the next few months ahead. It's really, really important. Thanks again for joining us today. It's been great. And I pray that if there's anything you want to sort of say, okay, I need to work on this, I need to work on that, then do leave a comment or email us or whatever, and we'll try and support you as you go through that. But we're going to draw our service to a close. We're going back to a video, Grace, which is actually from some time ago last year. And so thanks to the Clutterbuck family as they say the grace for us. Thanks.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit
be with us all forevermore. Amen.
I done it super quick then.